Perhaps one of the most misunderstood subjects in the Bible is that of blessings. Just what do we mean? I think some people say the Lord blessed us and they mean I didn't fall down and break a leg. Nothing very terrible has happened to me. Let's consider this subject a little bit in the light of 2 Timothy 2:15, where he tells us, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." There's a lot of confused thinking on this subject of blessings. Most people think that when times are going well, when we have health and prosperity, that we're being blessed of the Lord. And many Christians think this. Conversely, they say, I just don't know what I've done to deserve this. So much trouble has come to us, I think the Lord must be punishing us. Now, it's true that the Lord chastises His children at times, but to think that trouble in a Christian's life is an indication that God disapproves, or that prosperity in his life is an indication that God is pleased, is going back onto Jewish ground. In reading through the book of Deuteronomy recently, I noticed all of the blessings that are outlined in the 28th chapter in contrast to the curses in the chapter before and later on in chapter 28. And all of these blessings have to do with material things. He says, "Thou shalt be blessed in the city, and blessed in the field, and blessed in the fruit of thy body," that is, children, "and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and blessed shalt be thy basket and thy store." And all of these things have to do with material prosperity. Then you often hear Christians quote David's lovely words, "Now I'm old, I have been young, now am I old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." And then they take that as an indication that if they live right, as they say, they'll always have what they need. But that's to deliberately ignore the history of Christians. That's to deliberately ignore the division between Israel, God's earthly people, and the church, God's heavenly people. Now, these promises to Israel definitely had to do with their health and wealth and material prosperity. And men like Abraham and David and Solomon and others became rich and had a great deal of blessing here on this earth. And then when they disobeyed God, they were carried away into captivity. They were poor, they were impoverished in every way, they suffered physically, and all of the troubles came upon them. Now that's perfectly true of the Old Testament days, but it's not true of the New Testament. For instance, the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians tells us that the Apostle Paul went through all kinds of suffering and troubles and trials. Why, he said he was in labors more abundant than the others, in stripes above measure, that is, he was whipped over and over, in prisons more frequent than others. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, they won. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. And then he goes on to list all of the perils and painfulness and troubles and hunger and thirst and fastings and cold and nakedness. And he said, I had more than all the other apostles. Now, does that mean he was more wicked than all the others? That God blessed him less than the others? Well, of course it couldn't mean that. When he wrote to the Philippians, he said, I know how to be hungry and I know how to be full. And he wasn't ashamed of the fact that he was empty and hungry and poor and without proper clothing. He wasn't ashamed to write, and the Spirit of God put it in his last epistle, be sure to bring that coat with you when you come, but above all the parchments. He needed that coat there in the prison for a covering during that winter. Well, then, if that is not the blessing given to us, what blessings are we given? Well, Ephesians, the first chapter, says, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. All spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. That is, in the heavenly sphere. Some people live in the realm of music. Other people live in the world of finance. A Christian is to live in the heavenly realm. His interests are all spiritual and heavenly. Now that doesn't mean that he has his head in the cloud. It doesn't mean he isn't aware of what's going on. But it means that he has his money invested in another country. That means that a Christian is interested in other things, other worldly things, not this world, not the things of this world. Now you should be well acquainted with the first chapter of Ephesians. If you're not a Christian, you might find out what you're missing. And if you are a believer, you certainly ought to have the blueprint of your possessions. In the Old Testament, the book of Joshua, the Lord showed that he had given the children of Israel so many things which they never possessed. He said they'll be yours when you put your foot on them. The sole, every place where the sole of your foot shall tread, that shall be yours. They had to go in and possess it or they never got it. The same thing is true for us as Christians. The reason you and I are not enjoying what we have is because we are not possessing these things. We are not going in for the things that God has for us. Now, the division of these, that is, the way of enumerating these spiritual blessings in Ephesians 1 that I like best is one which I got from an old writer. And it divides them up into three groups of three. There are three things which we have through the Father, three things given to us through God the Son, and three things given to us through the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to go into them in detail, except to say that God has given us in these nine things everything that it takes to make us happy. Now, I know that materialists will sneer at these things, and I know that unspiritual Christians, Christians who are out of touch with the Lord will say, well, that's all very well, but you can't put that in the cash register. You can't spend that at the grocery. I want something that I can see. Well, that is not faith. You know what he says? The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you were not made a millionaire financially and in material things. But you became an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. And therefore you have no right to ever talk about being poor. You may starve to death here on this earth. Many godly Christians have done so. There isn't anything at all to guarantee that you're always going to have two chickens in every pot and two Cadillacs in every garage. Not a thing. You may or may not have material things. If you do have them, you have them because God has considered you his steward and expects you to hold them and use them for him. If you don't have them, it's no mark of his disfavor at all, you're still rich. My Father is rich in houses and land. Does that mean that God's going to give me a nice house on the best street? No, of course not. It means that, as our Lord Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We sometimes sing, the crowning day is coming by and by. And it is. One of these days we're going to come into our possessions. We're told in the first chapter of 1 Peter, that there is an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. Now this became ours as a gift when we received the Lord Jesus Christ. According to the laws of our country, when a woman marries, her husband's possessions become hers as well as his. And the ideal way is that they share them and hold them in common. They belong to both. And I don't say this is my house, and my wife doesn't say this is my car. but these are our things. Whatever I had became hers. Wasn't much, but it became hers because we are married. And when we're joined to the Lord Jesus Christ, what is His becomes ours. We're the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Not any other way, not by baptism, not by joining the church, but by receiving the Lord Jesus, you become a child of God. And when you become God's child, He says, if sons, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Now the Lord Jesus had nothing while He was here. For our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. And He went back to heaven, and He's still rejected in this world, though glorified there. One of these days, God is going to bring Him into His possessions. And we who know Him as our Savior are going to share with Him. For the present, He wants us as believers, He wants all true Christians to be satisfied with having nothing here, but having our blessings in the spiritual realm. Now, what I've talked to you about has been the genuine riches of the new world. I want to ask you, are you rich or are you poor? Have you received the Lord Jesus as your Savior? If so, I congratulate you on your riches. There's no one richer than those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, who have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Shall we give Him thanks? Our Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, we bow our heads and our hearts to thank Thee that Thou hast made us rich through the Lord Jesus. Help us not to seek riches here. Help us not to be materialistically minded. Help us to be looking for the coming of the Lord. Help us to be living contentedly, with or without material things, because we are rich in Christ. Take our thanks in His name. Amen.